Welcome to yet another edition of Hit the Target podcast, proudly brought to you by Hollywood Bets. I'm your host, Jesse Nagel, here to discuss game week 2 of football's greatest league. And, of course, here to do it with me is the usual panel. The gentleman who kickstarted the season, kickstarted it in fine fashion. Of course, I'm talking about Chadley Nagel as well as Don, Mr. Value Fear. I would say this is a winner's table, but Don's here. Don, not the perfect start for Liverpool, of course, dropping points in the opening game, losing the title race on the first day, setting a new Premier League record.
It wasn't a penalty.
in the words of Don.
But, draw.
We'll get to...
It wasn't a penalty off air.
That's crazy. We'll get to Liverpool and all things cheating later. But first, of course, we start off with the biggest rivalry in Premier League football. Of course, one of the biggest rivalries I've seen of... certainly a midfield rivalry back in its day was Stevie G against Frank Lampard, Aston Villa take on Everton. This has all the makings to not live up to the two coaches' careers. Yeah, Aston Villa losing their first game to Bournemouth, Don, Everton losing their first game to Chelsea. How are you looking at this one?
Oh, it's a slippery fixture.
I've got
in with that one. Yeah, it's a slippery fixture for Stevie G. But Everton, for me, with the signing of they signed Connor Cody from Wolves.
Good signing for them.
That was a brilliant signing. I didn't see that one coming at all. But I'm leaning towards the under 2.5 goals market. I think it's going to be a very...
You're not going to separate the Gerard Lampard debate.
It's not for me. It's the two great players. Yes, both managerials careers are struggling at the moment. My heart obviously is to go with Stevie G to get one over Everton. But I think that with Connor Cody coming in and the potential of Frank Lampard, it could be a stalemate. So I'm either going for a 0-0 or 1-1.
Positive result then for Everton. I mean, it wasn't the perfect start, Chad. You witnessed Everton up closely. They obviously were beaten 1-0 by Chelsea last weekend, but I saw a stat actually over the weekend that Steven Gerrard's win percentage is either equal to or less than Gary Neville's at Valencia.
36%, yeah.
Sure.
That is disgusting for management.
But no, I didn't know that.
Of course, he has the chance to somewhat salvage that against his old arch rival, midfield partner.
Yeah, so I think it was obviously an encouraging performance for Everton. Also, bearing in mind that they were missing some key players, especially Bite up front. They had lost Richarlison, who's now with Tottenham. And Calvert-Lewin he's obviously ruled out for a couple of weeks. So Everton still put up some fights. It was an encouraging performance. I know Frank Lampard want to build on that. And he'll be confident against the Aston Villa side that got beaten 2-0 against the newly promoted club. But I just think that everything sets up nicely for Aston Villa to win their home game with the Villa faithful behind them. They do have the quality on the pitch. Everton, obviously, still missing a number of key players. Yes, they've brought in Cody, which is a top buy. But I just think they lack bite up front. And I think with the quality that Aston Villa have, I think I'd back them to edge out a hard-fought encounter.
Yeah, there is more leaning with Aston Villa. Now, Don's backing under 2.5 goals, and I see why both teams didn't score last weekend. So there's certainly some common sense applied there. But for me, I just feel like Aston Villa get the edge. I'm going to agree with you, Chad. Yeah, there's Danny Ings, there's Philippe Coutinho, there's Steven Gerrard, who are all used to being Everton's rival at some point in their career. So I feel like this game would just mean much more to them, obviously having that Liverpool, whatever it is on their shoulder, that Liverpool thing, that bird. What's that bird, Don? That's there, that whatever it is, it's called.
It's a Villa versus Everton. It's not Liverpool versus Everton.
But yeah, all eyes, in fact, my eyes will certainly be turned on to the Emirates Stadium where Arsenal look to, continue where they left off last week and, of course, kick-starting the Premier League on Friday night with the win against Crystal Palace, London Derby, and now they get to stay in London. First time at the Emirates Stadium this season.
first time for the new signings, Chad, to showcase their talents in front of the home crowd. Of course, we've seen him in preseason, but this is the Premier League.
Yeah. I still, you know, even when Leicester used to, even when they, whenever they were, I think their title winning season even, like Arsenal, yeah, they've always had their number. So I think Arsenal just tend to rise to the occasion whenever they meet Leicester. And I think they are heavy favourites in this tie. I think two teams, we're looking at both of them and we're expecting different seasons for both. For on the one hand, we have Mikel Arteta's side, who there's a lot of hype around and there's a lot of fuss based on their excellent transfer business, also based on their fine pre-season and also just starting the season off on a winning note. And then we have Brendan Rodgers, who is under great pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie Vardy's now 35 years old.
Again?
No, Jamie Vardy's 35, so he's of age now. He's getting on.
35 years
old.
And
you know, there's also talk about Wesley Fofana and Wesley Fofana and Tielemans, who could follow Kasper Schmeichel out the exit door. Mm. So
in fact, this could be Tielemans' audition because Arsenal are
exactly
the club that have been most linked.
Exactly. So I think it's going to be a very difficult season. It promises to be a challenging one for Brendan Rodgers. I think Arsenal pick up this fixture with the win.
Don, without too much thought into it, I say Arsenal bank and everything. I make them my bank of the week. And I was this bullish about Newcastle last week when they played Nottingham Forest. I feel like Arsenal are, you know, if you've got those last one standing games or any fantasy league that you want to include Arsenal players, I feel like this is where the bookmakers are saying, have a good strike.
Why are you reading my notes? Yeah. So for me, it's the bank of the weekend at 5-10. I think there's super value in that to add to all multiples. Just look at the way, Arsenal were very clinical in their opening game in the, a hard fought win against Crystal Palace. And the way that they played. And if you look at the construct, way that, Leicester City had the opportunity to beat Brentford, but let it slip and Brentford came back and got the draw. For me, it's the worrying factor, and I think that there's something bigger going on at Leicester. As I said last week, to lose Kasper Schmeichel for 1 million is a massive blow. Tielemans is on his way out. You know, his head's not even in the game.
Chelsea have the money for Fofana.
Yeah, so Chelsea have also looked into woo their key players, and I think the writing might be on the wall for Brendan Rodgers. He's got uphill battle for me, and Arsenal's always been the voodoo team for Leicester City. So for me, can't see anything else but a 5-10 win. You might as well even go as Arsenal on the handicap, but that might be if you're an Arsenal fan. But for me, I would go straight at Arsenal to all multis at 5-10.
Yeah, my only worry is that Leicester City have a good record against Man City, and Arsenal are just as good now, so it's put up here. Chad, Brighton against Newcastle, of course, both teams picking up.
It's a mouth-watering one.
Both teams coming off in some rich vein of form. Brighton, of course, beating the team that wear red and black, coached by the ball guy, and Newcastle were impressive at home against Nottingham Forest.
Yeah, I think this is a tough game for either side. I think Newcastle will finish higher than Brighton this season, but
I thought you were going to say Man United. Because
no, I think Newcastle will finish above Brighton this season, but I think it's these type of fixtures that will determine just how high they finish. Because, you know, going to Brighton, going to the Amex, is tough for even the top six
teams.
Yeah, it's tough to go there and pick up a positive result. But there's a lot of, we spoke about Arsenal and a lot of hype around them. There's a lot of fuss about Newcastle as well, coming off a brilliant season under Eddie Howe.
What a fantastic coach. I've been proven wrong.
I've been a massive fan for the Eddie Howe projects. I think that he's quietly gone about his business.
Very good coach.
He's got, and we all know that the backing and the potential that the owners have got. And he's spent prudently and he's spent wisely. And I think that for me, I'm all over Newcastle on this. I think that they looking at Eddie Howe in terms of as a manager when he played at Bournemouth, when he managed at Bournemouth, these are the type of games that he'd relish, and he knows how to go to the Amex Stadium and grind out a result, and it could be a 1-0 hard fought win. But having said that, Brighton for me, yes, surprised me last week against Man United.
How surprised were
When I say this, based on Brighton losing two of their key players, I gave them no chance.
No, I literally gave them no chance.
Cucurella was the sole heart and soul of the team.
Bissouma
was undoubtedly one of their playmakers. Mm. And for me to lose two of those key players I literally wrote them off.
Didn't know that Danny Welbeck was going to be Drogba 2.0.
Oh, and I mean, they played well. So, I mean, taking their positive results from going to Old Trafford, Theatre of Dreams, and getting away the wins, you know, those are those are things that will bode positive for them. But for me, I think that Newcastle are a much more sound team, and a much more hard-fought team, and a team. And I'll reiterate, a team that are playing well under Eddie Howe. And that's why I say it's going to be a difficult task, an afternoon for Brighton.
I'm going to find trouble backing against Newcastle this season. I feel like I know there's hype and stuff, and like I'm trying not to like jump too much onto that wagon, but I feel like they've got one of the best players outside the top six in Bruno Guimaraes. Their striker, Callum Wilson, so underrated. He constantly scores goals. Yeah. This was his third season running. He scored in the opening weekend. And he's just an incredible...
Following in footsteps.
We spoke about coaches. Is it fair to say these are two of England's best coaches?
Yeah, no. Graham Potter and Eddie Howe.
I would say that, but I literally enjoy the Eddie Howe project.
It's actually such a football match.
Therefore, my prediction is going to be a draw. I just think two fine managers, two fine teams. I just think
I'm okay with
that.
A well entertaining tactical matchup, but I think both sides will be desperate to avoid defeat, having started the season so well.
Positively, yeah.
So I think I think a share of the spoils is on the cards in this fixture.
Okay. Yeah, Steven Gerrard and Frank Lampard. Get your game done early so you can get the notebooks out and watch this game, because this is how two English coaches do it. Don, Manchester City host Bournemouth. I'm scared to ask you what's your prediction in this fixture. In fact, I'm more scared to ask Chad, because you'll be a bit more open to saying the truth. I feel like you'll hide from it a bit.
No, I'm not going to hide from it. It's just one word, and it's bloodbath.
Word I was thinking of is ruthless, because I'm scared.
City at home are going to they're going to stamp their authority. They were clinical against West Ham, and West Ham were no pushover, but they were clinical.
Were Manchester City the most impressive team of the opening round for you? They're not on top of the log.
No.
They didn't win by the biggest margin.
But
were they the most impressive team for you?
You're leading me into that. They were the second, so dominant. The second team for me was Arsenal. Mm. So if I had to pick two teams that were very dominant in the opening game, opening round
Mine
of fixtures.
Would be Fulham.
But for me, I think the way
Fulham are winning the league.
No, but the way that in the manner in which City came out and dominated that game. Yes, they didn't come in and score 3, 4, 5 to which we are used to City playing, but they could have easily done that if given. They had the opportunities, they had the possessions, they were playing around. They didn't even get out of second or third gear.
Yeah.
And I think that a Bournemouth team is prey for them. They're going to go. So, Take any multiple, -2 on the handicap for me.
I think Hollywood Bets are offering -3.
Yeah, so and -3 on the offer.
That's unheard of.
So I might as well go on that one as well.
No, I think I'm
going to... Man City to pick cherries.
Then. Yeah, no, I think... I think I have to go with Don. Don said it best, bloodbath. I mean, this is a bloodbath waiting to happen. I think he should look at the winning margins market and look at Man City to win 3-0, 4-0 or 5-0. Just see what odds you get for that.
Yeah.
Or 4-0, 5-0 and 6-0, sorry.
Mm. Yeah, it's going to be a big score.
Bournemouth at least will be dressed for the occasion, of course. Bloodbath dressed in the red and black. Southampton, disappointing Southampton, St. Mary's Stadium is where Leeds will visit this weekend. Of course, Southampton take on Leeds. One of the many 4 o'clock kickoffs to discuss. Of course, there's just one more as well with Wolves hosting Fulham. But Chad, Southampton, of course, scored the opening goal against Tottenham Hotspur. Ward-Prowse, what a volley that was. Struck it into the ground. Lloris beats in. But Leeds showed more fight from these two teams, and Leeds had obviously not tougher opposition, but what they did against Wolves was exceptional.
Yeah, but they did, and they deserved it in the end. A 2-1 win over Wolves was impressive, but I do think we're looking at an early as it is, game week 2. This is an early 6-pointer between two teams that are going to be battling it out to remain in the top flight.
No. So wait, on this podcast, we've had a team lose the title race on the opening day, and now we've got a 6-pointer game week 2.
But we look at these teams, and can you tell me with confidence that you don't expect either of them to be in a relegation battle?
I hate the opening weekend of football.
I want Leeds to go down.
Look at Southampton, how disappointing they were last season. They kind of still look the same going into this new season. And yes, you don't want to be too hard on them because they've got beat by Tottenham, who are like expected to challenge for the title this season by some, not me. But but you still expect these two teams to be fighting it out for a place in the top flight come end of the season. So I think this is crucial points on the board. I really think so, even at this early stage. And Southampton, they don't give me any confidence at all. I think Leeds are the more better of the two teams. And at least for that reason, I think maybe both teams to score might be a play, a draw might be a play, or Leeds on the win draw, double chance.
Both teams to score, two options.
Yeah. For me, I think Leeds might just edge it. Southampton made an average Spurs look very good, and added to this hype that Conte is going
to
be
Spurs. We're going to get to that in a moment. Yeah. But I like what you said.
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't have rated. Yes, they're top of the league, and it pains me to say top of the league Spurs.
We're going to get to Tottenham in a minute.
We'll speak about Tottenham, but I'm talking about Southampton. They made an average Spurs look good. And I think that Leeds might just edge it. Yes, I tend to agree with what Chad's saying, is that these could be the teams that could be fighting 17th, 18th, 19th position. But I think that, I've just got a favour for Southampton. But both teams to score markets is where I'm going to look at.
Wolves against Fulham, Chad.
I think Fulham, obviously, Dave, we are talking about teams that who impressed most.
That's why I asked you first.
And I'm not just saying because Don's here.
I literally said nothing before this week. I just said Wolves against
Fulham. Saying this because Don's here, but they were the most impressive team because they had the toughest game for a newly promoted team coming into the top flight. This was a baptism of fire for them. And what do? They stick to their game plan. They don't play with their tail in between their legs. They play with their ears up, tails up. And I think they were impressive, and I think they were well worthy of a point in that game.
Would you say they were unlucky not to get more?
Very unlucky not to get all three, but at the same time, I don't want to disrespect Liverpool, but I do think they underestimated Fulham. But Fulham, for me, were brilliant, and I think they will be very confident of that performance going into their game against Wolves. They'll want to build on that. Wolves obviously just got beat against Leeds, and they'll want a response. But I just think Fulham will give them a real go. I think the safest play is both teams to score, but don't rule out a Fulham result.
I say the safest bet would be Mitrovic as an anytime goal scorer. But of course, Chad mentioned that Fulham will be gutted after dropping 2 points last weekend, Don.
Two valuable points for a Fulham team. But having said that, they're now going to start travelling. Now they're going to play week in, week out. Yes, it's always easier stepping up against the big teams and the big boys because you motivate yourselves because you want it. You want to take your points off the
flashbacks
big teams.
Flashbacks of Brentford on the opening game of last
100%.
Season.
100%. So for me, these are the games that stem to where you start watching the newly promoted teams is against the Wolves, the Southamptons, your stalwarts that are in there. And how does the coach manage to motivate his teams? Yes, they're going to say, yes, we took off points from the potential champions of England. We got to look at that. And that is the positive. For me, I think Wolves are going to be no pushover. Yes, the both teams to score market is attractive because I think Raul Jimenez is going to be a key for me, for Wolves. And yes, you can't write off that Mitrovic. He might dive and get a penalty, and he might con the ref again.
I'm not entertaining this.
I'm saying, so for me, it's about teams to score markets on that game.
I do get what you're saying because Fulham playing Liverpool now, I feel like now is the best time to play Liverpool. In fact, as you said it, I'm starting to think of all the other teams, and Chelsea won, Tottenham won, Man United didn't win. But apart from Arsenal and Manchester City...
Nice of you to include them in that conversation.
Arsenal and Manchester City, the exception. The rest of the teams, whether they won or lost, weren't at full strength. And that's Tottenham true. Won 4-1, but I would have loved to have played Tottenham. I'm an Arsenal supporter. I would have loved to have played Tottenham last weekend.
Also, De Jong and Aubameyang weren't there.
I would have loved to have played Chelsea last weekend. In fact, I'd play Chelsea this weekend. I'd love to play Man United now. I'd want to play Liverpool.
This is the time to play Liverpool.
So I fully get what you're saying. I was on the wrong end of it last season. Of course, I mentioned I'm an Arsenal supporter, and Brentford completely dominated Arsenal.
Did that to us in the middle of the season.
So I fully get what you're saying there. But yeah, speaking of Brentford, they close off Saturday, the first game at the Brentford Community Stadium. It's quite the humdinger. It's against a team on their level, Manchester United. Chad, fourth, Christian Eriksen derby.
Christian Eriksen going to be up against his former club. I think Brentford, Thomas Frank, you'll know all about what their former talisman is capable of.
Mm.
And I think they'll have a game plan for that. But then there's also, I think Eriksen is the main threat. Look, there's Bruno Fernandes.
For Manchester United.
I know it sounds crazy. There's Bruno Fernandes and
Cristiano Ronaldo.
There's Cristiano Ronaldo. But I am looking. But that's the thing. Cristiano Ronaldo didn't start the first game. I'm looking at Christian Eriksen as the one that probably instills more fear into that Brentford setup. Because they know what he's capable of.
They played with him, they've trained with him, they understand what he's about.
And remember, every time he pulled the strings for them and gave Brentford the headlines for the right reasons, all the fuss was about him. And even the interviews afterwards, everyone kept saying it. Thomas Frank kept saying, what a player. I can't believe no other clubs took a chance, took a gamble with him.
But my question is that does Eric, I said in last week's preview, Eriksen made a mistake in terms of leaving Brentford and going to Manchester. And I think Brentford are going to show you the reason why, in my opinion. I think it's going to be a hard, tough battle. There are bigger problems at Man United.
I don't think the players know what they're doing there.
This is what I'm saying to you.
I don't think coaching has started. Yeah. I don't think Ten Hag's tenure has started.
I think if you look at what's going on.
I don't think coaching has started. Are we just going to carry on?
No. I'm trying to say it in the best way possible. But if you look at what the boardroom antics that are going on, the supporters are starting to riot and revolt. The players want Glazers out. For me, I think the writing's on the wall.
I don't think coaching has started. I'm sorry, Don. That's just like...
Well, I didn't say that. That is all Jesse saying.
That is your headline.
That's classical. Yeah.
There's your headline.
But for me, I think United should, on paper, and football's not won on paper, should on paper get away with the sneaky little win. The draw's on the card, and if you take the double chance win draw for United, that gives you 7-10. You're not going to get that from a top six team, and that should tell you the confidence that everybody's looking at Brentford. It's not going to be easy.
Well, I think since the coaching hasn't started, I think United. I think we need to give. We need to be honest. We're looking at the name Manchester United and we're thinking, you know, you should be winning this game, and perhaps they should. But there's a lot that, you know, that still needs to
take shape at the club. You know, even preseason was good, but that's why I was saying last podcast, we don't get carried away too much with preseason results. And
you know, that was hinted at me.
No, if I look at the first match, okay, and if we analyze the Man United Brighton game, which player for Man United stood out head and shoulders at a and said, you know what, I'm here to play for the club. I'm actually here to actually put in a shift.
No one. No, in fact, not even.
He was probably the closest player to
say that he put in a shift.
Don, yeah. Our clubs, Liverpool and Arsenal, have been in this position. In fact, Arsenal could still be there. In fact, this season hasn't even finished yet, so I can't also get carried away. You know that when your club are in a certain spot, I mean, no matter how many quality players you have within the ranks, there's just that... I don't know how to explain it, but there's just that negativity or that order of negativity that's just surrounding the club. You could have quality players. I've seen Suarez and Sturridge and Sterling and Coutinho and Jay Spearing, of course.
No, but I mean,
and that team finished nowhere.
I'm asking. I'm asking the question purely, and I'm saying this is that if you look at what's going on at United, outside of what's going on,
they're there for the taking.
They're there for the taking. And their players, they're not attracting big names or great names. If so, they would have sealed the Frankie de Jong situation way before any other deal was
but
on
also,
the table.
But also, there's no Champions League football to entice the elite players.
You're playing with Cristiano Ronaldo. You're playing with David Villa.
Ronaldo doesn't want to stay there.
But this is what I'm saying to you. If Ronaldo doesn't want to stay there, what is going on?
Look,
your captain doesn't even know which side of the tunnel to stand in. I mean, that is what United are at the moment. They're becoming a joke.
A banter club, yeah.
They're becoming a banter club. They are joining Spurs in the memes group. That is what
I feel like Spurs are going to
one day like FC.
Yeah,
so many Spurs left a chance and expect that soon.
But I do think that, you know, like we just said, Premier League's full of upsets, isn't it? And like I think that.
So you're saying Man United could win this fixture?
Okay.
Would you
be surprised if Brentford won?
No, I'm tipping Brentford to win this.
I'm tipping the upset and saying take a double chance at Man United.
No, you want double chance then.
Double chance in win draw.
You're not going to get value for that.
Win draw at Man United is 7-10. That's the double chance.
Sure.
That's the double chance for Man United to win.
7-20. Yeah, 7-20. It can't be.
7-10.
7-10. Win chance, double chance.
Yeah, okay, well, I don't know. I'll just go with the value bets and I'll back Brentford. And this is no disrespect to United. I've seen what Brentford are capable of. They've hit Chelsea 4-1 at the Bridge last season. This is a team that you can never, ever write off, and they have a lot of fight in them. Yeah. I say Brentford win this game.
Yeah. I go with...
And add further misery to United.
I go with a bit more value. I just feel like judging on the way they play and the crowd and first game at Brentford Community Stadium, I've seen this way too many times with Brentford last season. Of course, Hollywood, it's been the sponsor and we had to pay much more attention to them. And just watching their games, the way they play, and of course that at the time Eriksen was also in the team, so it made a bit of a difference. But Brentford to get four or more corners in the first half.
You said four more goals, yeah.
I'm not ruling that out, but there's no market for that. But Brentford to get four or more corners in the first half at 4-1 is ridiculous.
Wow.
It's just ridiculous. So I think there's full value on Brentford. You've heard it from our panel, yeah. Brentford look full value for the win draw. There's been some confidence, there's been some less optimism, but Brentford certainly are full value for their shots against Manchester United. Double header on Sunday, gentlemen. Not so much to dwell on here. Nottingham Forest against West Ham.
West Ham win.
Before the big one.
West Ham win.
Yeah, just so draw a line through that City defeat.
You draw a line against that. I think West Ham for me, easy win for me.
Love West Ham to win, but Gianluca Scamacca off the mark.
Gian just screamed like, West Ham win. Okay, let's talk about Chelsea. Did you also feel that?
Yeah.
Let's get to it then. Chelsea hosts Tottenham Hotspur in the Antonio Conte derby. It's Conte going back
home. You can't really say home. We'll put inverted commas on that. He doesn't really have a home, actually. Is he still renting in London?
Juventus.
Well, of course, yeah. Spurs are in London. But yeah, London derby, Lily Whites of Tottenham against the Blues of Chelsea.
Top of the table, Spurs versus 8th position Chelsea.
Two teams, Don. I'm going to start off by saying there's two teams who could have been better last week.
Well, I think Chelsea should have been better last week. I don't think Spurs could have gotten any better purely because of the average performance that they played against in Southampton. We've spoken about how Southampton were average.
I also think, you know, what we could be overlooking, and I agree with you what you said, Jesse, about the opening week and the big teams were still come out stuttering somewhat. But I do think that it's the same situation with Arsenal, and perhaps Chelsea aren't getting that same attention. It's like you know, like how Arsenal goes to Palace, wins. Yes, they're not at their majestic best, but that's a game they go there last season and lose. It's the same thing with Chelsea. Chelsea go to Everton and last season and they lose that
game.
As
was the case, yeah.
And I think that we're not looking at that. Yes, Chelsea haven't been, they weren't like, you know, like fantastic, but I could see so many positives to take into a home fixture.
Well, spell them out for us, because I think it was us looking from the outside in, we're saying, Chelsea, I remember them being better last season.
Yeah, so we obviously there was always going to be that talk of Antonio Rudiger, what a key figure, you know, on and off the pitch. Koulibaly's better than him. Koulibaly's better than him, and he showed how fantastic he is in his debut for Chelsea. He was brilliant. Yes, he had a cramp, struggling to keep up with the demands of the Premier League, the rigors of the English game, but I think he was fantastic. I think all of our signings were. Marc Cucurella was brilliant when he came
on. I'm still trying to get over Thiago Silva.
Yeah, Thiago Silva doesn't age. He was fantastic. Raheem Sterling was our best attacker, and Kai Havertz loves the Spurs game. So, you know, like, I think there's a lot of positives for Chelsea to take into this fixture. Last season, I guarantee you, we would have dropped points in this game. So,
these are
3 points picked up, and it was difficult. We needed a penalty, but we were the better team. I think if you had to pick a team, we were the better team. I think Tottenham, there's a lot of hype, a lot of fuss about them, some talk of a title charge. They need to win the Carabao Cup before they can think about the title, in my opinion. But
is this an early top four battle?
It is a top four battle.
I think it's
a top three battle.
Not disrespecting Spurs, just like in terms of knowing where they stand for the season. Because Chad mentioned title talk. Because Arsenal first, I mean Chelsea first, Manchester City is not a top four battle. If you know what I mean. Chelsea versus Liverpool is not a top four battle. It's a top four team against a title contender. So I'm saying are these two teams who will be fighting for the same objectives at the end of the season.
Yeah, and for me, there's one team that's better, and it's Chelsea. Chelsea are the best of the rest. And I think until the team comes and actually does something where we can actually look back and say, okay, look, they did do it, then we can be like, okay, yeah, maybe you've kicked... they've been kicked off their third spot or something like that. But until it happens, you know, Chelsea are the big boys in this fixture. The betting doesn't lie. They're favourites, rightly so. The game's at Stamford Bridge. Spurs have a terrible record at Stamford Bridge. And
it's a London derby.
But I think I'm not shy to call a Chelsea defeat, even. That was the case last season. When y'all told me I was hurting, even. I'm telling you, Chelsea don't lose this fixture.
No, but are you going as confident as saying Chelsea win? And how confident are you weekend?
I'm not so confident because Spurs, I have to respect them. They're a good team and they've strengthened well. And I also know Antonio Conte is a serial winner.
Came out and said before game match one, he said we weren't ready. Yes, they won against Everton. And
but you could see there's more to come from Chelsea.
But you can see that there is more to come to Chelsea. Is this game a little bit too early for them in terms of seeing all the finished product of Chelsea? So
Spurs relishing
the moment, saying, hey, Chelsea's not the complete diamond shining.
Now's the time
to go to Stamford Bridge.
And I also think where Spurs are actually ahead of us now.
is their preparations. They've even looked better. They've got their signings in early, and yeah. they've blended well with the team. Conte's had a closer look at them. He knows and exactly what he's going to do. There's more of a selection headache for Thomas Tuchel. I think Spurs are heading that sense, but okay. I think only in that sense.
Okay.
Chad mentioned plenty of positives, and he's backing a Chelsea win. Donny mentioned average Spurs when discussing the Southampton game. They won 4-1.
Yeah, but it was average Southampton. Mm. You know,
I agree with you. I just want to hear what you've got to say.
You know, sometimes a 4-1 on paper. And you look at the team and you say, the scoreline didn't really reflect the results of the game, or the way that the game should have gone. If Spurs were so clinical, in terms of the hype that we give Spurs, they should have won that game 4-5 or 6.
Yeah.
You know, they should have gone out and think, not disrespecting a 4-1, it is a great victory. But I think that this week is an uphill total, battle for them. Yes, it's not a finished Chelsea, and it might not be a ready or prepared Chelsea, but it's still Chelsea.
Don't forget they lost 4 times to Chelsea last season.
You know what I like to look at in marginal victories is Tottenham won 4-1 last week, but I think take out their best player, and best player last week was Kulusevski. What would that score have been, and how much would one player make in that? And I would go as far as to say they dropped points without Kulusevski last week. So Chelsea, obviously, Chilwell, Cucurella wasn't an option last week for Tuchel. He had to start Chilwell because Cucurella could only come in for a few minutes. But now that he's got a full week to prepare, and Cucurella is the better left-back from the two. I don't know how you feel about that, Chad, but Cucurella, for me, is the better left-back of the two, better equipped defensively. He's faster. He's more intelligent. And if he shuts out Kulusevski, game on. And Chelsea win this quite convincingly, because they have the tools to win the midfield battle. I really think highly of Bentancur.
Which was the better game to watch between Chelsea versus Everton and Southampton versus Spurs? And that gives you your answer in terms of the preparation and where they are the teams. I think for me, the hard-fought game...
To add to that question is where was more quality displayed?
Chelsea.
And I didn't see quality in a 4-1 game. It sounds crazy. And
this is what I was saying to you.
People could, never listen to this podcast again because they think, this host doesn't know what he's talking about. But I didn't see much quality in that fixture. And
so you agree with me?
I definitely agree with you. Tottenham
coaching hasn't started there.
Coaching hasn't started in a lot of clubs by the seams of things.
Tottenham will give... I think it all depends on Kulusevski. If he has a good game, Tottenham will be so hard to beat because he's excellent. He's the
Chelsea fan. We gave it away.
The player.
No, I think he's Son, the player. I think Son for me steps up at the big games.
Son and Kane will be where the attention is at, and Koulibaly and Thiago Silverado will have their work cut out for him. But if Cucurella is not up for it,
I think Son will run right.
So it all depends on that for me. Yeah. I'm going to say draw because it's so hard to not see Kulusevski having such a good game. So I'm going to go with the draw. Chad, you say Chelsea win. Don, Chelsea Tottenham, your prediction?
I'm leaning towards a Chelsea win. Mm-hmm. I just think Chelsea, it's going to be an entertaining game. I think both teams to score, yes. But Chelsea and both teams to score for me is where I'm going to be playing.
I'm going to stick with you because on Monday night we've got Tristan Bull.
Oh, do we still even call this fiction Tristan Bull?
Tristan Bull.
Crystal Palace, of course, I got a good look at them last week. I don't know how much of that was down to Arsenal or how much of it was down to Crystal Palace, but they're not as bad as they were made out to be. And Liverpool obviously didn't have the greatest start to the season, of course, drawing 2-2 against the most impressive team of the weekend,
according to Chad. Yeah, it's for me, Liverpool's got injury woes. We've got battles in the midfield. I'm saying
Thiago Silva. Thiago, rather.
Thiago's out.
Thiago Gold.
Yeah, Kate has taken a knock. Henderson might be doubtful. So you might play Milner, Jones, Elliott as a midfield.
You're not going to do that. You know, like you just,
I'm saying that this is not going to happen. We've got six midfielders out.
Where's Fabinho?
Okay. We've got six midfielders out.
Elliott, Jones, and Milner. That's not even Carabao.
But having said that, I think that Liverpool should bounce back. And when I say bounce back, because apparently in this podcast it was a loss. But Liverpool for me, under the lights, Monday Night Football.
Do you not see Liverpool dropping points against the promoted team? But do you not see them dropping points against the promoted team as something that could come back to bite them if they want to beat Man City? Remember, to beat Man City to a league title, it's almost near perfect.
But we've got to beat Man City.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you're going to look back on points dropped and you're going to be like, Fulham, newly promoted, we should have beat them. Mm.
I think if you look at the Fulham game the parallel that I draw to that is similar to what Brentford did the first season when they came into the Premier League. So that's what I'm giving them, the credit that I'm giving Fulham in terms of it's easy to step up to the big boys. Mm. And yes, the fans were out in their numbers. Their fans were out in full voice. Liverpool were stuttering, taking nothing away from that in terms of the performance. The performance was lackluster, and it wasn't a title challenging performance.
Does Nunes come in for you from the start?
I still doubt it because I think he's going to go with the tried and tested. So Nunes will come off the bench for me, and I think that's probably because he wants to ease him in and rather take as much limelight off him because of that whole price tag. So I think that's the reason why I would definitely start him. And
it's not based on quality.
It's more the mental that we want to ease you into this whole thing because he's already come out and Klopp. When I say Klopp has come out and said that the price tag doesn't matter for the player, but because of his age and because of his quality, we want to try and ease him into this whole process. Mm. So they'll put Diaz, for me, the front three will be Diaz, Firmino, Salah. And Salah. And scoring under the lights will be a joy for them. And hopefully when we're 2 or 3-0 up, bring Bobby off and then put Nunes on and score another 2 or 3.
I don't look forward to those voice notes. Chad, yeah. First game at Anfield. Liverpool
comfortable.
Well, that's all we have from Don, Mr. Value Via, of course, proving to be valuable where it matters most. And Chad, quite optimistic in the London derby. I almost called it a North London derby, but it is a London derby. Chad, very optimistic about Chelsea claiming round one over Tottenham. Promises to be an interesting weekend, gentlemen. Until next week, and thanks for the football insights.
Cheers.
Cheers.